Well, today marks the beginning of what we are calling Prayer Week. Prayer is such a huge topic to discuss. I'm sure that if we sat here for only 5 minutes, we could come up with more than 100 questions about prayer that we'd like answered. Things that we don't really understand about prayer necessarily, we could come up with those questions probably without even trying. A prayer, of course, is important for Christians all the time, not just in a week called Prayer Week. But the reason for this week is to give ourselves an opportunity to reflect on what prayer looks like in our lives. It's a chance to maybe start fresh with some encouragement, or to begin to develop some new habits, or add an extra layer of depth to your prayer. The reason we put together a special devotional booklet this week, which I hope you picked up on your way in, is to guide you in those ways. The aim of this week is not about answering all of your questions on prayer, although very happy to talk about that later. The aim is ultimately to help each of us to pray more often and more in tune with God's plans and purposes. Prayer is not exclusively a Christian activity. Prayer occurs in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of cultures. One recent survey suggests that prayer is most frequent across people in Africa, the Middle East, and the Indian subcontinent. They're certainly not all praying to the same God, I'm sure. But regardless of what your culture or religion is, prayer is always that response to what you know about God. That means that our prayer life is deeply affected by how much knowledge we have of God. This is why there is such a variety of prayer around the world, in every culture and religion. Whoever you are and whatever you believe, your prayers will reflect what you know about God. Now, for some people, prayer is nothing more than calling out into the air for help. It's a desperate cry of hope that there might be someone somewhere who exists who might hear your cries. For some, prayer is like a meditation act. It clears your mind and helps you connect with the rhythms of the world and the universe. And for others still, prayer is a response to knowing that God is deeply relational, and that He knows and cares for you, and He wants you to talk to Him. There is such variety of prayer across our world because there is such a difference in the knowledge of God that people have. As Christians, we always seek to know God as He has revealed Himself to us. We know God through His written word, the Bible. It's the account of what God has done all throughout history. And it reveals God's character and His mission and His desires. And ultimately, we know God through His living word, that is, His Son, Jesus. The man who was the very perfect image of God. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is God in human flesh. How Christians pray is in direct response to what we know about God through the Bible and through His Son, Jesus. It is only through the Bible and through Jesus that we know the answers to very important questions about prayer, such as who is it that we're praying to? What does He want us to pray for? How should we pray? Why should we pray? We find answers to these kinds of questions in looking at Jesus, God's Son, and reading His Word, the Bible. As part of our aim for Prayer Week this week, we want to be able to point to good resources that point to answers and help us to think about these questions. We won't answer these particular questions this morning, but I encourage you not only in using our special devotional booklets this week, but there are some books on prayer listed in the news sheet that might help and encourage you to engage with these kinds of questions. Today we come to these verses in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. And I hope this morning by studying these verses together we can sharpen our knowledge of God and therefore how we respond to God in prayer. If you've got a Bible, it'd be great to have it open at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 verses 4 to 7 are a really tightly connected set of verses. It's a very powerful paragraph in the Bible. I know some of you have memorized these verses because they bring such great comfort to you. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness or your gentleness be known to everyone. If you read those two sentences just on their own, you might miss a really important truth that Paul is explaining. Rejoice and be reasonable or gentle might sound like nice advice to live by, but that's not what Paul particularly means here. Together, these two sentences are describing the unusual way that Christians should live in response to their circumstances. The Christians in Philippi in particular, Paul's writing to, they would have been facing particular persecution and opposition because they followed Jesus. And usually when you face those kinds of circumstances, you're expected to respond in a particular kind of way. If you're being persecuted or mistreated for your faith, you might hide away and stay quiet. Or you might express your frustration and anger in retaliating against those who are opposing you. And others might think that they are both fair responses. Nobody would expect you to rejoice in those kinds of circumstances. No one would expect you to continue being very public about your faith, but also in a reasonable way. But this is exactly what Paul encourages. An unexpected response to some very difficult circumstances. But it's not because Paul thinks we should ignore our difficult circumstances. Quite the opposite. It's because we know something so important and so life-changing about God that it ought to prompt us to have an extraordinary response to all kinds of situations. The instructions to rejoice and to be reasonable rest entirely on what Paul says about God in the rest of our passage this morning, beginning with the very next phrase. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Because the Lord is near. God is near to us in the sense that he is close to us. He's not distant and removed from our circumstance and unaware of what is happening. No, he knows you. And he cares for you. But God is also near us in the sense that we can know him. If God cared for us, but we didn't know that he cared, which is true of many people in our world, it wouldn't actually change the way that we lived. But because God has revealed himself to us, because we can know him and know that he cares for us, because we know that God is a God of compassion, who is kind and patient, we know he is a God who longs for us to be restored in right relationship with him. And we know we can pray, because he wants us to talk to him. And because he works in and through your prayers and mine. Prayer is possible because God is near to us. We can pray because we can know God. And we know that prayer is not just possible, but it is necessary for us to live the life that God created us to live. And this is what Paul goes on to say in verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What makes you anxious? What do you fear about the future? Paul says here that the antidote to being anxious is prayer. Now, this is not to take away from the complexities of anxiety. A prayer is not a quick fix for mental health issues, but prayer is certainly a help to all types of anxiety, and particularly in two ways. Firstly, prayer reminds us that God is in control. One of the dangers of these self-care and self-help movements is that it puts a lot of pressure on you to make the changes within yourself. That you change your situation or you change your perspective. Which means it has a great potential to increase your own feelings of guilt or helplessness if you don't manage to find your way out of your difficult or anxious situations. But prayer begins to remove these kinds of fears by reminding us that God is in control. Now, the act of praying helps us to let go of our worry and name it and recognize it and trust that God is in control of it. Even the difficult things we face and carry. The antidote to being anxious is to pray about everything. Now, this is not to say that if you pray once, all your anxiety will just go away, disappear in an instant. Not to say that. But if you develop a regular habit of constant prayer about everything, then you'll be teaching yourself to respond to adversity with prayer and not anxiousness. You'll be learning to automatically in your mind remember that God is in control even of this. It starts to become a habit and an instinct. And developing habits and instincts like these will go a long way to calming the fears and anxieties that rise up within us. We remind ourselves that God is in control when we pray to Him. And the second way that prayer is particularly a help for our anxieties is that prayer reminds us that we don't know what is best. There is one part of my day that brings me significant more frustration than anything else I do, more or less. Attempting my children to eat their dinner. Anyone remember that experience? It's not fun at times. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's not. It seems that children are born to disagree with almost anything they are served for dinner. It doesn't matter if last night they said this was their favorite meal in the world. Tonight it's the same as feeding them garbage. I've tried giving up working out what their favorite meals are because they change every day, basically. The worst part is trying to get them to eat their vegetables. It doesn't matter how much you tell them, these are really good for you. They're healthy. They'll help you grow up to be strong. And if you ate them really, really, really quickly, you wouldn't even notice that you were eating them. I've discovered that tiny pieces of zucchini are apparently like feeding a child poison. At least that's their opinion from this week. Children can't understand that these vegetables are actually really good for them. They think they know what is good for them. Well, boy, do they think they know what's good for them. But they really, really do not know what is good for them. They don't know the best things to eat. And you know what? That's actually not just true of my kids. It's true of me. And it's true of you. Now, it might not be about eating vegetables. Maybe it is. But how often do we think that we know what is best for our lives? This shouldn't be happening to me. I don't deserve this. We often think that prayer is a way to control our circumstances, that we tell God what we think should happen because, well, we obviously know best. And it can be so easy to offer our prayers as a kind of shopping list to God. Prayer becomes a way of telling us, God, here are the things that I want. Here's what you should do for me. Here's how you should fix my problems, in case you weren't quite sure the best way to go. But of course, we don't always know what is best. But just like a child who can't see that it is good to eat their vegetables, we are also limited in our ability to see what is good and right for us. But the act of prayer reminds us that God is the one who is in control, and He is the one who knows what's best. Because if He wasn't either of those things, it would not be worth praying to Him. If He wasn't in control or He didn't know what was best, there would be no point to prayer. Ultimately, it is through prayer that we find peace with God. Verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God here is contrasted with the feeling of anxiety in verse 6. What's the opposite of being anxious about everything? Well, it's to know the peace of God. And prayer brings this peace. Prayer leads you away from anxiety and into a place of protection, a place where your heart and your mind are guarded and protected from fear and anxiety. And again, not because prayer is a magic solution, it's because prayer, the regular act of praying, reminds us of these deep truths that bring a real comfort. You have peace with God because you are reminded that God is in control of everything. You have peace with God because you are reminded that He does know what is best for you. And whatever difficult or painful situation you might find yourself in, prayer reminds you that this is all in God's hands. And that somehow, in some way, He will use it for good. At the end of the book of Genesis, Joseph stands before his brothers who had sold him into slavery years earlier. And maybe you recall the words he says to his brothers. He says, "You intended this for evil, but God intended it for good." Now, I'm sure before that moment along the way, Joseph had his doubts. That he had no idea how the experiences he went through might have been for his good. But with wisdom and hindsight at the end of the story, Joseph could say, God did intend this for good, and it has been for good. We read in Romans 8:28, another well-known verse, that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. The problem is that so often we can't actually work out what the good is. And when it comes to prayer, we don't always know the good that we should be praying for, because we don't always know what is best. Should we pray for the healing of someone who is sick? Or should we instead pray that God might help them to trust Him in their difficult circumstances? Or perhaps both. I think when praying, it is best to acknowledge our own lack of wisdom. God, I know these. God, I think I need these things, but you know best. Is that not how Jesus himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested and crucified? When he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." In a very anxious situation, Jesus prays. And in this short prayer, Jesus reminds himself that God is indeed in control, that he can stop all that is about to happen. But he also reminds himself that God does know best. And so he prays, "Not my will, but yours be done." Of course, prayer is about so much more than just reminding ourselves of what is true. The peace of God comes because God hears us and because God can change things and because God does care for us. Brothers and sisters, this week in Prayer Week, I invite you to take time to reflect on your own patterns of prayer and how you might grow in your relationship with God. Whether it's through making use of our devotional booklets, joining our prayer gatherings here on Thursday, reading a book, or making intentional time and space to pray, make this week a week to reflect and restart or refresh yourself in your prayer. Enjoy this wonderful gift of prayer, because God is near and he wants you and I to experience his peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are indeed near to us, that you came into our world through your Son, Jesus, to make yourself known to us, to show us your character, your mission, your desires. Thank you, not only are you near and that you know us, but that we can know you also. Help us this week, wherever we are at with you, whatever our prayer life may look like, help us to grow in our love for you, our knowledge of you, and our dependence in prayer on you. Amen.